Good morning to each one of you. Welcome you all here in the name of the Lord. It's good to be here. Thank the Lord for what we've already had the opportunity to hear. I think of hearing and how we hear and what becomes of what we hear is important. So sometimes as we prepare a message here, you're not sure what the Lord would have for the congregation or myself or our needs. But we've recently been reading in Hebrews and James, and a few things stuck out to me that I'd like to share on this morning. So maybe we could stand and have a word of prayer that the Lord would help us here. Dear Lord, we do come before you here this morning. We thank you, Father, for your goodness to us again today and giving us life and breath that we can gather in the house of the Lord to worship in truth and in spirit. We do pray, Lord, that you would anoint myself and each one that is here, Lord, that with the Holy Spirit, Father, that we might receive with meekness the engrafted word, that word that is able to cleanse us, as we heard this morning. It is able to keep us on the straight and narrow path. It is able to succor us and comfort us. It is able to confirm us, Lord, and is able to bring conviction where it's necessary. We pray that you would let it have its free course among us, that you would, as you send it to do what it is intended to do, Lord, we pray that you would have your will way with that. Bless each heart that is gathered here. Lord, you know the needs in my own and each one that is sitting in front of me here, Lord. I pray that you might minister grace to each one, that we could be comforted and strengthened in the power of your might through your spirit and word. Bless the word of God to our hearts today. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. So there was a few scriptures that come to mind here. I remember just thinking about it was in Hebrews, as we have in Hebrews 11, where it talks about the faith, that is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. And I think of several words. It says that the just shall live by faith, and we walk by faith, not by sight. We walk because we have heard the word of God. We have things that we're hoping for. It's because of some promises and things that have yet not come to pass, that we've not seen them physically with our eyes. So, and it goes on down here, and it mentions someone that I'd like to preach about this morning, what we can learn. The title of the message here today is Lessons from Rahab. So in Hebrews 11:31, it says, In verse 30, it says, by faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. The next verse, by faith, the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believe not when she had received the spies with peace. So, and then in James chapter 2 or 3, I think it's at chapter 2, verse 25. But let's just read before that in the book of James chapter 2. It says here in verse 14 of James 2, what doth it profit? It's giving a likeness of faith without works, or why our faith should, there should be some action in our lives because of what we have faith in, what we believe in. It says, what doth it profit? Verse 14, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works, can faith save him? There's question marks behind those statements. If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto him, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Another question. Even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without works, without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Then it says, was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect? I would say the word there would be, was faith made complete? And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. Ye see then how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. Likewise also, was not Rahab the harlot justified by works, when she had received the messengers and had sent them out another way? There's a question there. The answer is yes, she was justified. For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. The body without the spirit is dead. So is faith without works. So let's just turn to gather some thoughts. What can we learn from Rahab this morning? So there's a couple examples there that I'd like to think about a little bit, that both in Hebrews and James, she is called a harlot, which we all know that a harlot would be a whore or a prostitute. And it seems like they want us to clearly understand that that is what she was. Then if you turn to Matthew chapter 21, just looked at it before I came up here. Some of the words of Jesus. You probably know where I'm going here. But in verse 31, he is speaking to the scribes and the Pharisees, I think, here, of Matthew 20, in Matthew 21. First he said, it talks about the man that had two sons. 28. But what think ye? A certain man had two sons, and he came to the first and said, Son, go work today in my vineyard. He answered and said, I will go, I will not. But afterward he repented and went. And he came to the second and said likewise, and he answered and said, I go, sir, and went not. Whether them twain did the will of his father? They say unto him, the first, Jesus saith unto them, Verily I say unto you that the publicans and the harlots go into the kingdom of God before you. For John came unto you in the way of righteousness, and ye believed him not, but the publicans and the harlots believed him, and ye, when ye had seen it, repented not afterward that ye might believe him. So when we hear the word of God, there's a requirement that God, there's some conditions that come along with it. But what I want to say is that regardless of your condition today, you're not too far away. You're not too far away. Upon repentance and faith in God, you can be brought near. You can be brought nigh. That's what we want to remember. So let's turn to Joshua chapter 2 to get that account. And then there's some points I'd like to talk about here. First of all, I'd like to get the setting here a little bit. This was when Moses died, Joshua chapter 1, and God had called Joshua to lead the children of Israel, and he told him three times in that discourse there in the first chapter that he should be strong and of good courage. And the children, When the Lord spoke to Joshua, he went and told the children of Israel what he said, and they, in verse 16, they all answered Joshua, saying, All that thou commandest us, we will do, and whithersoever thou sendest us, we will go. According as we hearken unto Moses in all things, so will we hearken unto thee. Only the Lord thy God be with thee, as he was with Moses. And I just thought about a couple things here, that their heart was right. Their conscience were tender after the death of Moses, and they were ready to receive clear instruction. They said, what you tell us, we're going to be with you. And then I think of Joshua. He was one of the 12 spies when they were sent out, and he was the one of the two that came back and said that we can do it. The other 10 said we can't. 10 said they can, and so this Joshua, he's got some experience. He was under Moses' tutelage for 40 years. He has some wisdom. And even after the Lord promised or told him to be strong of good courage, and they was going to go try to conquer Jericho, he wanted to know what's there. So wisdom, I would just say, Lord, before any of us act too quickly or too rashly, even though God has promised that he will never leave us nor forsake us, it is wisdom to look at it carefully. Send someone before you or ask someone that has been there already. They can help you. This is what Joshua did. It's just an example here that I appreciated. He went, he sent two, let's just start reading here in chapter 2. And first of all, I'd like to maybe have let's wait on that. I want to draw an illustration here. And Joshua, the son of Nun, sent out of Shittim two men to spy secretly, saying, go view the land, even Jericho. And they went and came into an harlot's house named Rahab and lodged there. And Jericho was what we were going to call a fortified city. It was somewhat of a fort, and yet there were people living inside there. All their needs were met inside that fortified city. And it was told the king of Jericho, saying, behold, there came men in hither tonight of the children of Israel to search out the country. They got in, but somehow they found out what they're there for. And the king of Jericho sent in unto Rahab, saying, bring forth the men that are come to thee, which are entered into thine house, for they be come to search out all the country. Now, yeah, let's just leave that for right now, I think, but there's a few thoughts I'd like to share about that. And the woman took the two men and hid them and said thus, there came men unto me, but I wist not whence they were. And it came to pass about the time of shutting of the gate, when it was dark, that the men went out. They came and they left. That's what she told the ones that come ask after them. The men went out. Whither the men went, I wot not. Pursue after them quickly, for ye shall overtake them. But she had brought them up to the roof of the house and hid them with stalks of flax, which she had laid in order upon the roof. And the men that she sent out, they pursued after them all the way to Jordan unto the fords. And as soon as they which pursued after them were gone out, they shut the gate. Now, I'll show you this picture here, printed off this morning. This would be the city of Jericho. It's kind of, you have to look here pretty good, but the light's right on it there so you can see it. But there was two walls around the city, and the people lived inside, and this is where they had the guards and the fortifications. One place here was gates, and it looked like there was towers by the gates where the guards stood around that city. And this was a totally secular, large, powerful city. And the men snuck in there, and then when they get this one here as a picture of, can you see it on this side? Maybe I'll draw an illustration there, but this is what it looked like. There was two major walls around that city, and Rahab lived in here, inside those two walls. And I think it was, you know, it had to be, it was God's divine hand that directed those two men into her house. But what I'm going to comment on that was, is it wasn't, because of her profession, I don't think it was strange that, why would the king thought it strange that the men went to her house? But this is my opinion, I could be wrong, that by that time they knew that she'd had a change of heart. That's my opinion. So they went to find out, what are they doing there? And because she clearly had a change of heart, if you read on further here. And she laid, verse 7, and the men pursued after them the way to Jordan unto the, and before they were laid down, she came up to unto them upon the roof. And she said unto the men, now this is, let's just see what she said. Because we're looking at the harlot Rahab, which was justified. And she said unto the men, I know that the Lord hath given you the land, and that your terror is fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. The reputation of the Israelites had preceded them, and they were, I would say that whole, this whole fort, or this whole city was trembling because they were coming. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when ye came out of Egypt. Alluding to what Aaron said this morning. And what ye did unto the two kings of the Amorites, we could look at that, that were on the other side of Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom ye utterly destroyed. And as soon as we had heard these things, our hearts did melt, neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and in earth below. That was her testimony. She had acknowledged the work of God. And I thought of what Aaron said this morning. I wrote a heading on top of my page here, that we do well to remember God's work in our life and the life of others. Remember what God has done for you. That is what she thought about. She had heard what was happening with the children of Israelites, and the fear of God was upon her, and she's looking, what can I do? She took advantage of the opportunity that God had presented. And by the way, this very Rahab is in the lineage of Jesus Christ. Matthew chapter 1, verse 5, she's mentioned there. Rahab the harlot. Now therefore, I pray you, verse 12, swear unto me by the Lord, since I have showed you kindness, that ye will also show kindness unto me, unto my father's house, and give me a true token. Children, remember what she asked for. Kindness. But she gave it before she asked for it. Remember that. I have showed you kindness, that you will also show kindness unto my father's house, and give me a true token. And that you will save alive my father and my mother and my brethren and my sisters and all that they have, and deliver our lives from death. Now somehow she had already conceived that there was a sentence of death upon that city of Jericho. And she believed it by faith. Didn't happen yet. And the men answered, and I'd like to just, here's another point I'd like to say. Let's read this verse 14. And the men answered her, our life for yours. If ye utter not this our business, and it shall be when the Lord hath given us the land, that we will deal kindly and truly with thee. Now these men, when Joshua sent them out, they trusted Joshua. And they trusted the Lord's leading, and they had the authority to tell her that we'll take care of you. They were walking in the fear of God themselves, and they did not run home and tell Joshua, can we handle this? How do we handle this? They had the Spirit of God themselves, and they handled it with kindness. Their own judgment and their own conscience was good and right. They had confidence. Again, they had confidence in what God had promised them. Then she let them down by cord through the window, for her house was upon the town wall, and she dwelt upon the wall. And she said unto them, get ye to the mountain, lest the pursuers meet you, and hide yourselves there 3 days, until the pursuers be returned, and afterward may ye go your way. And the men said unto her, we will be blameless of this thine oath which thou hast made us swear. Behold, the terms and conditions of God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Behold, when we come into the land, thou shalt bind this line of scarlet thread in the window which thou didst let us down by, and thou shalt bring thy father and thy mother and thy brethren and all thy father's household home unto thee. And it shall be that whosoever shall go out of the doors of thy house into the street, his blood shall be upon his head, and we will be guiltless. And whosoever shall be with thee in the house, his blood shall be on our head if any hand be upon him. And if thou utter this our business, then we will quit of thine oath which thou hast made us to swear. There were some conditions and terms that they gave her that if it's other than that, we're not accountable for what will happen to your family if it's not this way. And she said, according to unto your words, so be it. And she sent them away, and they departed. And she bound the scarlet line in the window. I'd like to draw a little picture here. The scripture says that this is her house. I did that wrong. I wanted that a little different. Just for a better illustration. Sorry about that. The scripture says that her house was on a wall. Put some windows here. This is Rahab's house. And this was sitting on the wall here. We could just make another illustration here just to give us an idea here. But these are the walls over here. They were big walls. We know that. And a wall on this side. But it gives a picture of a high wall. But I just want us to remember this picture, if we could, that they told her that she let them down with this cord here. Now, when they left, they said, that cord needs to be in your window. I think that's not a perfect illustration, but you get the idea there. So as we read this chapter, what can we learn about the faith of Rahab? Some points to consider here. First of all, we can understand that Rahab had a clear change of heart. And she knew that several things. She knew that the people that she was with was not part of the people of God. She knew that clearly. And she had to make some choices, and she was transformed by that desire, by the power of God. She became one of the ancestors of Christ despite her profession. That is one thing we can learn. And then the next thing is that the choices we make in life have consequences. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. The next thing I'd like to point out is that the promises God gives us remain true regardless of our response to them. The Word of God is going to do what it's intended to do, disregarding my response to it. If I respond correctly, I'll be blessed. If I don't, it's still going to go forward. His promises will be fulfilled. But I would just like to, you know, how does it set with us when we hear some good news from a far land? You know, when we see a work of God in another area, do we rejoice and start tuning our ears to it and look for more good news, or do we kind of get resentful? You know, God wants his work to continue, and when Rahab had her ear turned, that whole town knew what the Israelites were doing. She was in tune with what was happening presently. So she prayed, she surely prepared for the future. And so she, because choices have consequences, they always have and they always will. The next thing was she had to change her identification. She had to change her loyalties. If you think about where she was and when her desires started considering the work of God, God saw her heart and he made a special provision for her. He supplied what she was surely needing. God is faithful. Remember that. If there's a true heart that desires to follow after the works and ways of God, God looks after him. He always has. He does that today too. He always has and he always will. Another principle is that obedience precedes blessing, and obedience and faith precedes blessing and faith. Obedience and faith precedes blessings. We can learn that she was not afraid as Moses. In Hebrews 11 there, he's mentioned as well that she cast in her lot with the people of God. What about you today? Are you willing to cast in your lot with the people of God? Or are you shamed? Moses, it says here in Hebrews 11, he chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Choosing rather to esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of reward. I think we could say that about Rahab. She had respect unto the recompense of the reward. Back in Joshua there was commitment. We live in a land where there's a lack of, that people are fearful of commitment. God is a God of covenant. He's a God of commitment. What he promises are done. You don't have to doubt what he promises. It's done. Believing, she saw, or she bleed without seeing. John chapter 20. This is the account of uh, John 20, let's turn to that, a few verses there. Because it reaches right into us here today. John 20, this is about Thomas, verse 27. Then saith he to Thomas, reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, my Lord and my God. Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me and thou hast believed, blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. That's us today. We have not seen and yet we're required to believe. You know, when she sent them out, she gave them clear direction. She told them, go out, come back in 3 days. And when they left, they gave her clear direction. There was a trust and commitment to one another that, you know, that we do well. We can exercise in our own life that we have a trust and commitment within the body of Christ. It takes that. We trust each other. We're committed here. This is his body. Trust and commitment. And the clear direction that's given. And I think about, you know, now when we think about when the walls of Jericho come down, and at the end of that chapter there, they told so the two men returned, verse 23, and descended from the mountain and passed over and came to Joshua, the son of Nun, and told him all things that befell them. And they said unto Joshua, truly the Lord hath delivered into our hands all the land, for even all the inhabitants of the country do faint because of us. Now, it doesn't give much account about Rahab and her house afterwards. Not that I've seen. There might be, but I couldn't find anything. It was just we have this account, but I'd like to consider a few things here that there was when... in verse 18... Behold, when we come into the land, thou shalt bind this line of scarlet thread in the window. The scarlet thread, the cord, is a reminder of the blood on the doorpost when the children of Israel was being taken out of Egypt. It says you had to strike the lintel in the doorpost of your house so that the death angel does not enter that house. Clear direction. That cord is that similar to that. There has to be the scarlet cord. That was one condition. That cord had to be hanging out of the window. It represents the blood of Jesus Christ. That cord, that blood, the sacrifice that runs from Genesis to Revelations, that cord needs to be there. It also represents it's, you know, saving the firstborn from the death angel. And I think about that. I wondered about that already. It was, you know, when the death angel came that night, there was the children of Israel were slaves there, and their houses were scattered among the people. There was houses. And yet, they were given clear instruction to make sure that the doorpost is painted. And we have here, you know, right here, this was one house on the wall. And those men told her, do not they gave her one instruction here. There was three conditions that they gave her. She has to have the cord hanging out. And her family was to be in the house with her. Anyone outside of the house was going to be destroyed with the city. This is a likeness of the coming of Christ. Anyone outside, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man cometh to the Father except by me. And then the third condition was that she was be quiet about the contract. Now that don't fit my situation today, but back then, I don't think it was her idea to go around and tell people that, hey, put a cord in your window. If she did that, that contract would have been void. They said, don't. Here, it says here, verse 30, and if thou utter this our business, then we will quit of thine oath which thou hast made us to swear. In other words, they didn't want to come to Jericho, the army of the Israelites, and see six houses standing here with a cord hanging out. That was not the case. This was an exclusivity to it, that this house with this cord, and you have to be in the house. There was a couple things I'd like to say about that. Back up, she said she had prepared, her heart was clearly changed, and not only that, her heart was toward her family. Where is that verse? And that ye will save alive my father, my mother, my brethren, and my sisters, and all that they have, and deliver our lives from death. She was concerned about the welfare of her family. And I do surely believe that they were in that house. But I wonder, you know, how did she convince her family that we have to be in this house? How are we convincing our families? There's requirements. There's one house and there's one cord, the blood of Jesus Christ, that cleanses us from all sin. There's just the few things there that I thought was interesting, that if you look in Matthew chapter 1, that's where it's mentioned that just in the lineage of Jesus Christ, verse 5, it says, and Salmon begat Boaz of Rachab. That Rachab there, that's Rahab. And Boaz begat Obed and of Ruth, and Obed begat Jesse. And then it goes to David and on down the line there. But so, and even there was something else. In the lineage of Jesus Christ, I read that there's two women mentioned there that are not, the writer said that they were, that phrase, aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. One of them was Rahab, and the other one was Ruth. So those are things that God honors all those that come to him in repentance. And I believe that we can see clearly that Rahab repented and was after the heart of God, and God looked after her very faithfully, and just as he does to us. So that's the kind of the gist of my message today. Sometimes when we look at how she's mentioned twice in the New Testament, and then you look at the life story, there are just a few simple things that we can learn. It's not complicated. Our heart, when our heart is turned towards God, God honors that. Just as he did Rahab, he will here today. Now, we don't, I wrote here, what is a question that I'll close with is, what situation does the Lord have in my life today that would help me be better prepared for the future? See, that God is in the business of sanctifying us, and he wants us to cleanse us further. We have an initial cleansing, but a sanctification is a walk onward. And I just thought some of these points here that we can learn from Rahab was good for me to just consider those things. And the beautiful part of all this, I see in this little discourse here that men were willing to take direction from mortal men. They took it, received it, gave it to Rahab, and Rahab in turn gave them direction, and it was for the welfare of each one of them. It was for the benefit and welfare for everyone involved. So those are some points that just we can think about. So I think that is it for the day, for here. I hope you were blessed. These pictures are laying up here. If someone wants to see them, they're not. There's a couple of edges cut off of them, but you can learn a little bit about it, I guess. It was unique in its day. But I'd like to just point out another point here, that I believe Jericho was an example of the world, we could say, but sometimes there's the world likes to set up things that men have some security in. And that's the enemy. He will set up things that man wants to depend upon and be secure in. And like we could say that the United States has a nuclear arsenal. Oh, they do. Well, wow. Those types of things. That's what I say. When you look at Jericho, it was a fortified city. And if man would stand there and say that was impregnable in its day, you could not get through. But see, with God, you can get through. That's the difference. It looked very strong, but when men there again received instructions of how to destroy Jericho, Joshua, they heard from the Lord, looked foolish walking around that mighty thing, and yet, if God be with us, who can be against us? That's just a few thoughts there. So if something was shared that doesn't correspond to God's word, why, you can make it known. The pictures are up here if the children want to take a look at them. I might take one back here, but I'll just take my seat here.